This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Welcome to the CIO House View Daily, bringing you the latest market developments and investment insights. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Thursday, the 27th of August, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Equity markets were mixed, with the latest U.S. close little changed while Europe and Japan moved lower. At the latest U.S. close, the S&P 500 was unchanged, while the Nasdaq gained 10 bips. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 fell 20 basis points, while Switzerland's SMI declined 0.9%. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 was down 20 bips. In foreign exchange, the euro buys 1.167 US dollars, while the dollar buys 0.8 Swiss francs. The US 10-year Treasury yield stands at 4.65% and was unchanged. Brent crude fell 1.3% to $87 a barrel, while gold declined 0.9% to $4,638 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments. Against that backdrop, today's main focus is the repricing taking place in bond markets. Long-end Treasury yields are retreating ahead of the Jackson Hole Policy Summit, continuing their descent since reaching last week's highs. The US Treasury buyback plan and easing concerns over oil supply disruptions in the Middle East have helped drive yields lower. However, firmer than expected US core personal consumption expenditures data on Wednesday was a reminder that the path to lower inflation may remain uneven. As it stands, 30-year and 10-year Treasury yields are down roughly 16 and 9 basis points respectively from last week's peaks. Long-dated European government bond yields have also moved lower, while Brent crude has declined around 7.4% this week amid a less confrontational backdrop between the US and Iran. Falling yields and lower oil prices have provided a welcome respite for bond markets, but they do little to change the structural forces that we believe may keep long-term borrowing costs elevated. Fed uncertainty is lifting risk premiums. The bond market is adjusting to a less predictable Federal Reserve communication framework under Chair Kevin Warsh. The Fed has placed less emphasis on forward guidance, while markets are also considering the implications of a smaller balance sheet over time. This increases uncertainty around the central bank's reaction function and raises the compensation investors' demand for holding long-duration assets. The recent pullback in oil prices strengthens our view that a September Fed hike is unlikely, although the timing and pace of future easing remain uncertain. AI investment is also reshaping bond markets. Large US technology companies are increasingly issuing debt to finance AI-related capital expenditure. Their preference for longer-dated borrowing is creating additional competition for investor capital at a time when government funding needs are already substantial. If AI investment remains elevated, corporate issuance could continue to put pressure on long-term government bond yields, even if the economic outlook remains supportive. In this sense, higher yields reflect not only fiscal concerns, but also strong private sector demand for capital. Fiscal pressures are becoming structural. Persistently large budget deficits, rising debt levels, and elevated borrowing requirements across major developed economies are contributing to higher long-term yields globally. The Treasury investor base has also shifted away from relatively price-insensitive buyers such as central banks toward private sector investors who are more sensitive to valuations. Long-term yields may therefore need to remain higher than in the post-financial crisis era to attract sufficient capital. Treasury buybacks may improve market functioning, but they do not resolve the underlying fiscal imbalance. So we view the rise in long-end Treasury yields less as a red flag for risk assets and more as an ongoing repricing of structural risks. We continue to favour high-quality government and corporate bonds in the short to intermediate maturity segment, where attractive income provides a cushion against further volatility. At the same time, we remain cautious about aggressively extending duration into the long end. We also retain a constructive view on equities, supported by robust AI investment, broadening earnings growth, resilient economic activity, and moderating inflation. However, the next phase of the rally is likely to broaden across companies, sectors, and regions. Investors should combine a diversified global equity allocation with targeted exposure to AI and technology, as well as cyclical opportunities in financials, industrials, consumer discretionary, and healthcare. Finally, we think continued fiscal concerns, a gradually declining US dollar, and uncertainty over long-term bonds all reinforce the case for diversification through gold, commodities, and select foreign currency exposure. Turning now to another development that caught our attention, Nvidia delivered a broad-based second quarter beat on Wednesday after the market close, with both revenue and earnings above market expectations. The company also issued revenue guidance that topped estimates. According to its chief financial officer, the chipmaker expects revenue to grow by around 70% in fiscal year 2028, which ends in January 2028. That is well above the consensus estimate of a 45% rise, as the company sees demand acceleration. Nvidia shares rose 4.7% in after-hours trading, while Nasdaq futures gained 0.7% ahead of the US market open on Thursday. Without commenting on individual companies, Nvidia's results point to sustained AI demand that should continue to support the next phase of growth. In addition to hyperscalers, sovereign AI, neoclouds, enterprises, and AI-native startups are increasingly driving incremental demand growth. We continue to see long-term potential for gains in the AI theme, but acknowledge ongoing concerns, including the sustainability of AI capital expenditure. In our view, diversification across the entire AI value chain is critical. Among our preferred stocks, we favor platform and application beneficiaries that are well positioned for AI-related use cases. Within the enabling layer, we also like infrastructure firms with strong pricing power and competitive positioning in their respective supply chains. Elsewhere, the closely watched Personal Consumption Expenditures Index of inflation rose more than expected in July. It increased 0.2% from June and 3.7% from a year earlier. Economists had expected increases of 0.1% and 3.6% respectively. Core personal consumption expenditures inflation, which excludes food and energy, was unchanged at 3.3% year over year and rose 0.2% on the month. The data disappointed after the Consumer Price Index and Producer Price Index had both pointed to a clearer easing in price pressures during July. September policy meeting increased immediately after Wednesday's release, with futures markets indicating a 42% probability, up from 36% just beforehand. The data is consistent with our view that US inflation will move lower over time, although the path is likely to remain uneven. Despite coming in slightly above expectations, the report continued to support our view that price pressures are moderating. Market core personal consumption expenditures inflation, which excludes imputed items such as portfolio management services, fell to 2.26% on a three-month annualized basis, aided by a muted 15 basis point change from the prior month. Our base case remains that the Fed stays on hold in 2026 before lower inflation opens the door to potential rate cuts in the first half of 2027. We continue to see an opportunity to lock in yields in quality bonds, with a preference for short and intermediate maturity securities. Looking ahead to Friday the 28th of August, the focus will be on Japan's August consumer confidence data, Fed Chair Kevin Warsh's Jackson Hole keynote speech, and the annual revision to US non-farm payrolls. And that's it for today. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office, and we look forward to bringing you the latest update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.